There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Shane Phillips is a new thing. Well, he's new on the program now and he's here. Shane, nice to see you.
Drive Live talks careers.
All right then. Shane is absolutely here somewhere. I think you have.
Hello?
Okay, there we go. I'm on now.
Shane is definitely
here. Inside the dark matter. So
you,
I was
you literally now. Are. It's nice to see you. So are you going to do the 30-day challenge with us?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, fitness is a big theme right now, and I've gained a few kgs, so I definitely need to do this. And also, National Bank of Fujairah is having the Fujairah Fun Run on December 1st. You can win 10,000 dirhams if you come in first on that. So there's all kinds of fitness stuff, which I think... I definitely want to participate in all of it. I'm just concerned if I can get out of the dark matter, because that means you're in a black hole, isn't it, when you're in dark matter?
not quite, but I know where you're going. Do you know what, though? There is a direct link between how well you are and how fit you are to how productive you are. And you always talk about the right kinds of foods to make sure that you are ultimate in terms of productivity, your fitness levels. You come in here and you raise your arms like a boxer as you walk up to us, but it does make a difference, doesn't it?
And your vitamins.
Exactly.
He talks all this health, but Shane's got one of the biggest sweet tooths I've ever seen. So is any treats going, Shane's right in there?
That's not fair, because last time you psyched me out with the Tim Hortons, and being a Canadian, I had to eat it.
It was like a sucker punch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not fair. That's not fair.
Life's not fair, Shane. Look, we brought you here today to talk careers. The last time you were here, it was a contentious hour, so we thought half an hour this week. But actually, it kind of fits, because you're very much an advocate of creating the correct online presence, at least the online presence that you see to be correct. What's the wisdom in your eyes about how to create the person that you need to be to get the right job online?
Well, I think it's not just about getting a job. So I think, you know, there's three ways that you can really look. First of all is, okay, I want to get a job. Right. Two, I want to have a career. Three, I want to create a life's work. And obviously, each one has a stronger presence. So when you're coming to the table saying, I want to create a life's work, you're going to be much more successful. You're going to be much more innovative. You're going to be much more energized. When you come to the table with, can I get a job, you're really just making withdrawal from the market. And this and where your mindset is will determine how people interact with you and will determine how your career overall goes. And you can see this in their online strategy. So when you come to managing your online presence, the person who wants to get a job will be, communication will be very one way. They will have their profile up. They'll say, look, I have an MBA, I have a CFA, I have 15 years experience. Contact me for career opportunities. Boring. Okay, but what the real thing about social media is about interactivity. So when you start to say, oh, I want to have a life's work, which is the third stage of development, which is the most powerful stage of development, you would want to say, well, you know, for example, what are the latest radio techniques? Where is the future of radio going? Who are the most influential people in radio? Can I talk to them? Let's have a discussion. Let's get together. Let's exchange ideas. Let's go on this intellectual journey together. I'm intellectually curious. So then you start to create interactivity within the social media context, and that's what social media is about. So many people, whether it's executives or it's companies, they are treating social media like you treated print advertising in 1945. Okay, taking your print marketing plan and putting it online is not social media. So whether you're a company taking your ad and putting it on your Facebook page, or you're an executive taking your CV and making it digital, I'm sorry, that does not qualify as social media. You failed.
Don't forget, if you have any questions for Shane Phillips, you can text us 4001 or via the free messaging app. Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group is here, but after the break, I want to get your thoughts on how your online presence can also harm you as much as it can do good.
Download the ARN News Centre app and follow us on social media.
In association with Do.
You're listening to Drive Live, broadcasting from dark matter at Gitex Technology Week. Impossible is just the beginning.
Only on Dubai I 103.8.
It's Drive Live Talks Careers.
Drive Live Talks Careers.
Our guest today is Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Shane, we were talking before the break about the fact that you can look for jobs online, you can have a profile, and that can be a great assistance in terms of developing your career. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how having an online presence can sometimes be detrimental. You know, things that you share, you maybe have photos on social media, and you don't realize potentially your employer is looking at this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a great example of that with President Trump. I think he's got a lot of things online and from his history which continue to haunt him. So anything you put up there is forever. And I think that's why you really should take a professional social media policy. I think you'll start to see, in fact, more employers, when they're hiring people, they will start to have a social media policy in terms of what you can and cannot put on Facebook, what you can and can't put on LinkedIn. So I think there's a lot of harm, and especially when we're living in this region of the world, which can be culturally sensitive. You have different cultures. What's acceptable in one region is definitely not acceptable in another. So I don't think you can just have a free-for-all if you are serious about your career. And some people aren't, and they take advantage of that, and they make that statement online. So it can hurt you.
And in the past, you've talked about the fact that you've helped people clean up some of their social media, and that's something that not many people might realize is holding them back.
Yeah, in fact, there's actually it's a growing market. A lot of executives do hire us to come in and do a scan of all your social media, so Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, wherever else you may have pieces posted. And start to clean that up and start to put a much more professional finish and polish on that executive. This is also very common when you start going from mid to senior management. And as you start to go for those C-1 jobs, it really is a photo finish. And 99% chance, you know, if you're a finalist in a job today, you will be Googled.
So in theory, you could fall prey to that, I don't know, Freshers Week picture at university that somebody doesn't want to see, doesn't want to represent their organization. How do you clean up people's social media? Because some social media goes back nearly a decade. I mean, that's an enormous job, isn't it? How do you do it?
Take it down. I mean, if one of your friends has something posted from university days, which is not appropriate for this region, then you need to say, listen, hey, buddy, you know, that was funny 15 years ago. Would you mind taking it down? And 99% of people don't have a problem. Very few people will say, you know, of course, if they don't like you, then we may get a different response. So you do need to clean that up. And this is something you should be cognizant of. I always say treat that public profile in a very professional manner.
I think as well, though, there's the danger sometimes people have multiple accounts. So you could end up thinking you're posting something on your own account when actually it's on the company's behalf. And we've seen lots of people caught out with that kind of thing, too.
Sorry, you're posting on the company's behalf?
Yes, so you might have your own personal, for example, Twitter account, but you also might have access to a company one. So some people have gotten a lot of trouble by thinking they were posting on their own feed and have posted on the company's one instead.
Well, yeah, that definitely wouldn't go over well. But I really think, you know, if you, for example, you have an employee and all of a sudden they are on their own Twitter feed, but they are saying some things which may be politically charged or in any other way that's not culturally acceptable, or they're tweeting something, that could result in a termination. And I think you will see some very aggressive social media policies coming forward. A lot of companies as well haven't realized that one of their greatest marketing opportunities is to use the social media platforms of their staff, right? So if you have 1,000 staff, you want to put an offer out, you use 1,000 LinkedIn profiles, you know, you can easily get 10,000-20,000 views a day of your marketing campaign at no cost. So as this kind of unfolds and evolves, you will start to see this becoming much more stringent in terms of what you can and cannot say online.
So you've suggested there a company could use it to their advantage, you know, posting a job application. But you also made an interesting comment about the fact that you think it could be an option for companies to run a LinkedIn account on someone's behalf.
Yeah, well, if you look at right now, your LinkedIn is completely customizable. And so when you're looking at the leadership, a lot of the leadership of these companies is 55 plus, 60 years old. They don't understand social media. They really don't get it. As the younger generation comes in, the millennials come into the C-suite, they're going to see that as a branding opportunity. They're going to see that as an advertising opportunity. Why not? Why don't all of you, for example, all the ARN staff have a standardized LinkedIn background that says ARN with some branding, and you can allow for some customization in that, but you're missing a huge advertising opportunity, for example.
Can I just ask you something about LinkedIn? One of the tick boxes on LinkedIn is I am looking for other opportunities. That's just one of the things there. Is it okay to say that when you have a job, you're successful in a job, you've been in a role for a while, should you be saying something like that?
This is exactly what I'm getting at. So, for example, if you're going to do a deal with another company, one of the things you will do as part of your due diligence is you will look at those individuals on LinkedIn, you will start to look at their profiles, and if, you know, 8 out of 10 of them are saying, oh, I'm looking for another job, blatantly on their LinkedIn, it reflects very poorly on your organization. So organizations will lock this down. You are right now in kind of the early days of the internet still. You're getting away with it. You know, 5 years from now, they will have social media policies. When you sign your employment contract, you will have a fairly vigorous social media section to lock all of this down. And I think by all means, if you're running a company and you have employees who are openly saying, I'm looking for new opportunities, you should either give them termination warnings, or you should clean it up, or in extreme cases, you may want to terminate those people.
Biggest question for you, Shane, and this is a burning question in my head. What's the one mistake that we're all making on social media? What's the one thing that we're all getting wrong?
Well, it's the interactivity piece of it. It's not about getting up there and putting your profile up. It's about getting up there, and you now have a chance to talk to the greatest intellectuals in the world. You have the chance to talk to the greatest professionals in your field and interact with them. That's the piece that you're missing. We're still acting like we're in the 19th century, you know, and, you know, rather than interacting with these people and creating content and starting to push the boundaries. Start to become, and then the second thing is become intellectual curious, you know. You know, if you grab one of the greatest professors with all, you know, so many accolades, and they release a YouTube video, it gets like 1,500 views if they're lucky, right? And so maybe we should stop. The second thing we should stop doing is stop watching Gangnam Style and start trying to educate yourself. You have access to Harvard University lectures. You know, like, we're looking at what should our digital media program be for our company, and you can access Stanford, Harvard, Cambridge, all their media marketing lectures. So why are we not pushing the boundaries of our intellect?
We've just had a text in from Mick who says, please can you ask Shane to stop being ageist? I think that was just sort of the assumption that if you're a senior manager, you might be a bit older and not au fait with technology. But of the two of us, Tim is the more senior and the more technically able.
The more senior. I'm the old bloke and she's the young one. But it is a point. But generally speaking, the older you are, perhaps the less interested you are in social media. Doesn't mean you can't use it. It's just the application, I suppose, comes from a different place, doesn't it, Shane?
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, I'm actually not going to back off on the ageism, because when you start to actually look at how the companies are structured, you will basically have a sales team for each geography if you are running a company. And that is very traditional. That is very 19th century. But you do not have a sales team for digital. You may have a product development team for Africa or for the US or for, you know, the Eastern Coast, but you will not have a product development team for your online sales. Well, you know, the complete structuring of your marketing department, the complete structuring of your product development team, the complete structuring of your sales team needs to dramatically change as you start to address this new digital world. And leadership is just not doing it. So, for example, if you take something simple as food and beverage, you want to order a hamburger. Well, I'm sorry, the fastest growing segment of your food and beverage business is the home delivery. And that is completely being done online. So when you start to look at the marketing campaigns, they're still doing LTO, limited time off, offering coupons, come in and buy one. Sorry, we're not coming in. We're not buying two for one. It's completely, you completely have to restructure your marketing piece. And I'm sorry, the guys at the top don't get it. And you start to look today, where is the biggest gains in the food and beverage market in UAE and Saudi Arabia? look at, you have the story of Maestro Pizza, you have the time of shawarma. Well, these are very young marketing teams, complete innovative entrepreneurs who are taking share from the big boys, and it's happening as we speak.
The times, they are changing. Shane Phillips is from the Phillips Group. Mick, there you go. There's your answer. We look forward to your text and reply. Shane, always good to have you here. Appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having me.
It is Drive Live at Gitex. We're at the Dark Matter Stands of Beale Hall 2.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.